says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Kelso here.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome, folks. This is Kelso, and you're tuned into the Trump phenomenon. Hey, I thought my voice would be back entirely by now. It's, probably through the show it'll come back almost completely. It's a lot better than it was last night. You're tuned into the Trump phenomenon live and hair-raising from North Dakota. I'm James Kelso. With me, I see, I believe, Paul Fromm there in Canada. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All righty. So we're all set here. I hope you're all set there. Love to have a couple of you call in at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. So I've got about, about 50% of my voice back. And, boy, I apologize for last night. That's painful, I think, to listen to somebody whose voice is wiped out as mine was. But thank you all for bearing with it. I'll tell you, Paul, something I'd like to talk about tonight. Something I'm sure you've pondered often, is what happens when we don't have access to the truth. And specifically, what happens when the government lies to us with statistics and with other lies? But what happens when the information from the government is a pack of lies? What do we do? What position, what plight does that throw us into? And just to start out the discussion, I'll bring in a story here from, I'll connect several stories, one from Britain, one from Mexico. The story from Mexico, let's see if I can't find that story to start out. The story in Mexico is that the Mexican, it's now reported, here it is, report, Mexican government ordered the doctoring of crime statistics. And then here's the story on Breitbart. For years, the Mexican government has been ordering its various law enforcement agencies to doctor their crime statistics in order to downplay the number of murders, kidnappings, and other violent crimes often tied to drug cartels. The effort was apparently done to make it seem like the current Mexican government was making progress in improving the country's security conditions. The order to hide Mexico's true crime numbers came from the former Secretary of the Interior, Miguel Ángel Osorio Chong. Yes, that's Chong, as in Chinese Chong. According to the report, Chong would order the government to hide the true number of crimes in order to make the ruling party look favorable.
No.
And,
really?
Yes. Now, no. Here's the thing, folks. You know, Paul and I will read a report on the air like, you know, such and such a country is the rape capital of the world. Well, we're utterly reliant upon the Swedish government or the South African government, or in this case, the Mexican government, to give us accurate numbers. If these numbers are made up, well, where are we then? You know, what do you do in that situation? Now, I'll tie this report. There's the Mexican story there. Let me tie it to the British story, because a report today points out this one from Britain. Police don't know, that's what they say, they don't know why rape is up 20% in Sadiq Khan's London. Now, Sadiq Khan is, I think he's a Pakistani, isn't he, Paul?
He's a Pakistani Muslim. He hates white people. And he says we just have to get used to living with terrorism. I say maybe we should not have to get used to living with his kind of people. But then that's...
Yeah. Anyway, so the police in London are saying, you know, rape is soaring in London, up 20% in 1 year. And they say, we don't know why. We don't know why this is happening. This is all a big mystery.
Minorities out of control, maybe.
Yeah. So, for instance, in last year, there were 6,300 rapes in London. This year, 7,600. That's a 20% rise. Now, I'll tie that to another report, which is from Britain, and that's about the largely Pakistani. Well, I shouldn't say that, because the police pretend they don't know who it is. The rape gangs in Britain, which they force white girls into prostitution, and they also rape them, but they force them into prostitution. And these are very young white girls all over Britain. It turns out it's not just one or two towns. It's all over Britain.
Yeah, and these are Muslims. Not to be too fussy about it. We're not talking about Polish immigrants to Britain or people from the EU. These are Muslims in heavily Muslim areas, and there's wholesale collusion with the police and the social workers who downplay the incidents or don't report them or don't do anything about them. And it blew up a couple of years ago. And in one area alone, there'd been over 1,000 girls raped and in many cases forced into low-level prostitution and consumption of drugs. I mean, it was an epidemic. It wasn't just one bad guy did it to a couple of girls.
Yes, and making our point further, these, I think one of the first areas where this was exposed was a place called Rothenham.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
And folks, you're going to think I'm making it up, but you probably already are familiar with it, and you know it's not made up. The police knew about the rape gangs. The town council knew about the rape gangs. The social authorities knew about the rape gangs. All these people inside the government were very aware of the rape gangs, but they actively hid that information from you, the public.
So they wouldn't make people racist, which means it would keep people stupid or ill-informed and unable to draw about the proper conclusions that the immigration invasion into Britain has been an utter catastrophe.
Exactly. And so we're going to, if you callers out there, if you can, if you can come up with some interesting further illustrations of the point Paul and I are making, which is the importance of truth in our information from the government. And of course, that was the point that George Orwell made in 1948 when he published 1984, is that when you lose the truth from the government, you are in, what are you in? You're adrift at sea. You no longer have an ability to know what's going on, because think about it for a moment. All of us, like me, like Paul, we're not original news sources. We're not data gathering organizations. We're people who turn on our computer or television, and we trust that what we're hearing, or we have to rely upon that information. So when I just told you that there were 7,600 rapes in London last year, do I know that to be a fact? Of course I don't. And now that I find out that the government is in the standard practice of lying their asses off to me, you know, what are the numbers? What's really going on? And so this is this is quite a crisis. Now, Donald Trump, you know, not to speak utterly in terms of gloom, Donald Trump is the answer. He's the antidote. He's a man who insists that we tell the truth and that the information be straight. So this is where we have to go. And we have to have somebody in power who can do this. By the way, I'm going to connect another story, Paul, that's interesting that came up today. I think it connects with this story, which is that power of the central government. We talked about China a lot yesterday. Well, guess what the latest move in China is? Xi Jinping, the all-everything head man of China, is not happy that he's the head of the Communist Party, he's the head of the army, and he's the head of the government. That's not enough for him. He now wants no term limits.
I see that. So let me get this straight. That Xi is a he, right?
Yes. Yeah, he wants He-Man power. Not She-Man power. He wants He-Man power.
Oh, right. Emperor forever.
Yeah. So, this goes to what we were saying. Deep in his gut, he believes in the Chinese Empire and in himself as its emperor. And so there's an article today. Let's see if I can go to this on the Chinese. Here we go. China moves to scrap presidential term limits, cementing Xi Jinping's stranglehold on power. And it's not even a matter of term limits, since I added that word probably mistakenly. They want to do away with terms, not term limits. In other words, it's now more the status of emperor for life, kind of the status that Robert Mugabe had in the former Rhodesia. Or who are other examples? Idi Amin in the great Republic of Uganda. you can think of other examples, folks, of people who just, the only way they ever were removed from power was, you know, feet first on a gurney. And so here's the story in China. China's Communist Party proposes removing term limits on the office of the presidency Sunday, a move that will make it easier for Communist Party General Secretary, Central Military Commission Chairman, and President Xi Jinping to keep all three of those titles indefinitely. Chinese state news outlet Xinhua reported that the CPC Central Committee has introduced a series of new amendments to communist law to be debated and implemented in an upcoming session, which also included the formal addition of Xi's philosophy, which is titled, you're going to think I'm making this up, folks, Xi Jinping Thought. Now, remember Mao's little red book? In which Mao thought was codified. And so Xi Jinping, along the same pattern of the guy whose face is on Xi Jinping's money, he has Xi Jinping thought. And this will be, they're going to incorporate Xi Jinping thought into the Chinese constitution. Let me see. I'll go down here a little further. Xi was elected president of the CPC, which is the, let's go back to that. The CPC is the Communist Party Central Committee. Now, folks who are up on your history of communism, you know that term general secretary is sort of the favored term in a communist dictatorship for the head man. He's the, and they call him the Gensec.
And that would be like the chairman of a precinct or a political unit in the United States. In other words, that's the head guy. That doesn't mean the person who takes down the notes. That's the top dog.
Oh yeah, the Gensec is the Stalin, and so the I think that was in fact one of Stalin's positions. And the the Central Committee, the Communist Party, you know, you ask yourself, where's the power in a communist state? Well, it's in the Central Committee, folks. That's the little self-appointed group of people. They're not elected. That Central Committee, I mean, they elect themselves. That Central Committee is, that's where the power comes from. And in the case of one-man rule, you'll have one man like Stalin who utterly terrifies the members of the Central Committee who he appoints. He appoints them. He also executes them. And
Literally.
Yeah. The term executive has a special meaning in communist states. So the this is interesting. It connects with our opening theme, which is how do you get the truth out of a government? Well, if Xi Jinping, who is incorporating Xi Jinping thought in the Chinese constitution, is the head of everything, where does a Chinese get true information? Or we, where do we? Well, nowhere. That's where. And so we'll connect these stories tonight in our show. And you can call it at 800-313-9443. Let's go back to Britain here, and here's the situation in Britain. Now I'm looking at a page here of the photographs of the arrested suspects in the Rotherham rape gang, and folks, you know, you ought to familiarize yourself with this look. The South Asian look, because a lot of us, you know, we grew up in all white towns and things like this. We're not familiar with other races and other peoples, but look at these faces, you know, this is what a South Asian rape gang looks like. Now, they don't look like Chinese. South Asian is quite different from Northern Asian, which is Chinese and Japanese and Korean. These are Pakistanis. Indians look similar, but the Pakistanis have a particular sort of range of look. And here's the article accompanying this. The grooming gangs, that's one of the terms from grooming gangs. They say that they're grooming these white girls.
That means preparing them for to be prostitutes, not to be too cute about it. That's exactly what it is. It's wicked.
Yeah, and grooming's too nice a word, because what they do is they find a young girl. They will use brutal, just sheer force, you know, pin her arms down, rape her right there and so on. That's not grooming. And then they, or grooming's too nice a word for that, or they will, shoot her up with heroin or some other drug and get her addicted to drugs. Now, well, she's on a real short leash now. She's addicted to drugs and you're the drug supplier. So that's what they do. A report by counter-extremism think tank Quilliam has found that more than 8 out of 10, that's actually 84% men of convicted in these rape gangs, have an Asian background. Here's the interesting point. When this study's authors, both of whom are Pakistanis, set out on their research into grooming gangs, they expected to, their purpose, folks, was to debunk the perception that Muslims of Asian heritage are overrepresented. But instead, their analysis revealed that 222 of 264 convictions related to 58 cases of grooming gangs identified in Britain between 2005 and 2017, or 84%, were Asians, despite these Asians making up only 7% of the British population. And we'll come back more with this right after this break. Chance for you to call in.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Trump Phenomenon. I didn't give the date. Today is February 26th, 2018. And we're talking about truth, facts, our access to facts. We're using crime statistics as a starting point for this discussion. It connects with, I'll connect another piece of news. It's in the headlines. What's going on with gun control in America right now? You have, and the left, folks, the left, let me kind of give a summary here. The left hates facts. It's a good title for a book. The right loves facts. Facts are on our side. That's why. The left uses lies, emotions, hysteria, crisis, false flag type events to manipulate events. We on the right we rely on facts. But what if we don't have access to the facts? What if the government, as George Orwell attempted to frighten us into understanding with 1984, is engaged in the continuous, constant falsification of facts? And of course, the media, utterly complicit in that enterprise, the left itself, the whole movement, the whole Alinskyite movement, dedicated to falsifying the information that you get, keeping you in a cloud of disinformation. I'll bring in another name that may be familiar to some of you. Well, at CPAC, there was somebody from the NRA who was making the point I just made, which is the facts are our friends. And a name that comes to mind in that regard is John Lott, L-O-T-T. Now, this John Lott is a great figure in our movement. And when I say our movement, I could say he's a great figure in the movement for truth. And what he did, let me go to Professor Lott's or John Lott's page. He has researched the facts about gun control and came out a number of years ago with an amazing fact, is that gun-free zones are incredibly dangerous. Whereas and in a one-to-one ratio, as people are more and more able to arm themselves, they become more and more safe. And he established this statistically. Let's see, John Lott is now 59 years old. He's got academic distinction from the University of Chicago, Yale, the Wharton School, which is where Donald Trump and his kids went to school, set up by Joseph Wharton.
So actually, when they boast about this is a gun-free zone, far from being a safe place, this is a dangerous place. That's a great insight, which, you know, I mean, I'm an avid gun fan and so on. And, you know, I hadn't thought of that. I think you mentioned that last week, and, you know, I think that's something really, really worth keeping in mind.
One of his titles and one of his great books is More Guns, Less Crime. How about that one? How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
And he makes a point. Let's see. He started in economics at UCLA, got a BA in 1980. He's taught and held positions all over the place. But he's been put in the doghouse by the politically correct culture as a bad boy for researching and telling the result of his research. He says, Lott argues in his book, More Guns, Less Crime, that defensive gun use is underreported, noting that in general, only shootings ending in fatalities are discussed in news stories. He says, in More Guns, Less Crime, in many defensive cases, a handgun is simply brandished and no one is harmed. Many defensive uses are never even reported to the police. And what John Lott has done has quantified this, and he's made the point, he's taken the revolutionary point of view. How many times do guns save lives? To fill in the picture, he says 90% of the time that people use guns defensively, they merely have to brandish a weapon to break off an attack. Think about that. While we listen to this break, we'll come back.
Still last 10 years like they should. The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me,
we're back, folks. So here is the thought on which we left off. And you know, this is grabbing me as I read it right now myself, because when you think about having a defensive firearm yourself and you visualize, well, how would I use that firearm? For most of us who do not have extensive experience with firearms or with crime, you know, if you're white folks living in a white neighborhood, well, guess what? You don't have extensive experience with crime for some reason. Because there isn't any extensive crime where you live. Well, here's what Lott points out. Here, I'll go to the numbers. It's really worth thinking about. He says, let me go to his numbers here. 98% of the time that people use guns defensively, they merely have to brandish a weapon to break off an attack. So think about that, folks. That's what, you know, when your defensive handgun or a firearm would be employed, visualize that. You know, you've got an ongoing assault. Somebody's breaking into your house or trying to, you know, rob you. You produce a weapon. That's the end of it right there. Think about that. 98% of the time, whoever's wanting to commit a crime against you says, you know what? I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Go
ahead, Paul.
Can I bring something up on this gun issue? If anything ever stank like a three-day-old cod on a dock, it's the spontaneous eruption and well-organized behavior of some of the students at that high school down there in Florida. I mean, you know, the bodies were scarcely taken out of the school, and they were agitating and organizing. This smells of organization, but what I really want to emphasize, and something which every one of you can do, there is now a concerted corporate attack on the National Rifle Association. Corporate shunning, United Airlines, Delta, Avis, Hertz, etc., have ceased their relationships with them. And as I understand it, the NRA has relations with a great many corporations. So if you're a member of the NRA, you get a special discount if you say use Hertz or Avis or think Best Western or the various airlines. And some of these outfits are ceasing their relationship with the NRA. It's pure corporate cowardice and thuggery. But the NRA is fighting back. But you know, if you're an NRA member, let these businesses know that to the best of your ability, you'll avoid them. Yeah, you shun us, we'll try to shun you. I know that's not always possible. I mean, you might not have an alternative to Delta Airlines, but let them know it's a matter of pushback. And I used to be just a hardcore free enterpriser, and I still am, but I have just boundless contempt for many corporations that they give the average dockside whore a bad name. And this is where I think it's really important for people to push back and let these businesses know I'm watching you. In fact, I'm in the process of moving, and I've got two van lines competing for my business. I think one of them, might be wrong, but I think one of them has broken its relations with the NRA. I'm going to tell them, hey, that's a deal breaker. You try to dictate my political opinion. You try to hurt a really good patriotic organization.
Paul? We might have lost a little of Paul's signal there. Okay. All right. I think we might have lost Paul for a moment there, folks. Paul making a very good point. This now is the time to come to the defense of the NRA, and you can do that a number of ways. One is by joining, an encouraging note on the campaign against the NRA launched after the Parkland shooting. Once again, every time there's some kind of a crime that's horrendous, the same movie is started up again. Get rid of the guns. Get rid of the NRA. Gun owners are bad people. On and on. And, of course, the answer has to be the same. Well, here's some encouraging news. Has it worked against the NRA? No. How do we know this? Do you know what the membership of the NRA is, folks? Think about it for a second. It's 5 million members. That's the largest, I think it's the largest membership group in the United States. Membership surpassed 5 million in 2013 during Obama's presidency. Gee, I wonder why. And their revenues, let's see if they have these published here, $434 million in 2016. Expenses of $476 million. So about $500 million in revenues and expenses. 5 million members. And it's an incredibly important organization. Let me go back to John Lott's information here. And the very powerful point that he makes. And the theme tonight is the importance of numbers, of statistics, of facts, the importance of the truth. And the truth is, John Lott, as a great academic, as a real researcher with sophisticated statistical means, has established that if you're more armed, you're more safe. He's established that there is a tremendous saving of life by guns, and that the way that normally occurs 98% of the time is the person defending himself displays a weapon, and the crime ends right there. No shots fired. And this is not reported generally to the police, so it never becomes a part of crime statistics. But it's a real important part of crime facts. He says, brandishing a firearm is sufficient to stop an attack 98% of the time. And, well, there you go. That's incredibly important. Now let's go to, here, I'll give you a little bit of his voice. Just play his voice, John Lott. You can hear him for a moment. Just to hear his voice. This is John Lott talking recently. He's 59 years old now.
10% of elderly people would be banned from owning guns. This is not a trivial portion of the population that's there.
Let's take a look at how the New York Times editorial board characterized this debate. They wrote, these individuals...
Okay, I'll skip. I'm going to skip part of this. This is a C-SPAN interviewer.
Police doing things that we know work. At least if you had had thousands of crimes have been solved, or hundreds, or even 10 crimes, then you can maybe have some type of trade-off there. But 50,000 hours worth of police time could be used to go and solve a lot of real crimes over the years.
Now, what he's talking about right there, here's another statistic that he's come up with. If you turn your police force into a gun regulation force, they spend their time going out, registering people, reporting, forming databases. They're not, what are they not doing? Are we made less safe by that activity? Yes, we are, because the people that we rely upon to go get the bad guys are not going out to get the bad guys. And he used an example there of 50,000 hours in one case, soaked up by basically non-policing activity, or not the activity we need to protect us. So John Lott showing us that great facts help us in our make our case. But here's the alarming thing. John Lott is just one man. And we're up against government institutions like the British government, which was uniformly hiding in their thousands of people in the British government knew that thousands of white girls were being raped and forced into prostitution in Britain. Thousands of people knew, and no one let that fact out. And complicit in this was the British media. The British media also knew about this, and they would not report it. That's an incredible story going on in Britain. And of course, this connects up with gun control. It connects up with open borders. It connects up with the question of race. The Pakistanis, you know, men of Asian origin, you know, except euphemisms used and so on. No, guys born in Pakistan to mom and dad who are both Pakistanis are Pakistanis. I don't care what their British paperwork may say. And they, again, something not reported by the news media. Many of them have said, we view white women as easy targets. And they even go so far as to say they deserve to be raped in various forms and ways they say this. Whereas our Muslim women, our Pakistani women, deserve to be protected. They actually say this. and the media does not report it. But here's the question of race. Is this a race war? Are these people at war? We talked about China being at war with America yesterday. Are these people committing these hostile acts against us? Is that war? Well, how do you define war? Is the government of China manipulating their currency in such a way as to try to destroy ours? Is that a hostile act? Is there manufacture of fentanyl? We barely got to talk about this yesterday. This is a very powerful drug used among the uses. Doctors in America will prescribe it for killing pain. But it's manufactured in China. And the Chinese are smuggling it in by the boatload. And it's killing Americans by the thousands. Tom Petty, a recent casualty, he was prescribed fentanyl patches for transdermal administration of fentanyl. And apparently he stuck a few too many of those on his skin and it stopped his heart. You know, he didn't need to die. But are these acts, these hostile acts by other peoples, are these acts of war? Of course they are. Yes, they are. So there is a race war going on, but it's not a war that we white folks are waging. We're not engaged in a race war with anybody in the world and haven't been in a long, long time, if ever we were. But in any of our lifetimes and the lifetimes of any of our parents and grandparents, there's never been race war by white people against other races. Instead, we've been running around pathetically trying to prove to everybody how much we love them and how much we, you know, if their society's a failure, oh, it's not your fault, it's our fault. So come over to our country by the hundreds of thousands. Is Somalia a basket case? Well, come over to our country. We'll give you a brand new or a fairly new late model SUV for free. We'll give you an apartment, a big one, for free, in which you can house your four wives. Our social services will be polite and not ask you questions about your four wives.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, James, I'm black. Yep. I mean, I'm back.
Okay. All right. And there, Paul disappeared again. All these things connect. And by the way, there's an example of, you know, what do you do if you have the facts? I am convinced, folks, that we on the right, if we have the facts, we win. If we can put the facts before our people, we win over and over again. The hundreds of thousands of Muslims that are being brought into our countries, it is, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not an authority on the Quran, but I believe it is Muslim teaching that four wives is considered optimal and certainly okay. And it's widely practiced, having multiple wives. Well, you know, among us white folks, that's against the law. And if you go down to social services and you say, I want to put in an application for aid and an apartment and food and things like this for my wife and my four kids. And they go, okay, well, they fill out the paperwork. And then when you finish that, you say, okay, good job on that. Now let me put in another application for wife number two and the four children I have with her. Well, if you're a white guy, that's the end of the interview. And in fact, they refer the case to the police department at that point. But if you're a Muslim, social service just goes along with the whole thing, pretending, just as in the case of the Rotherham rape gangs, pretending it's not happening, even though it's right there in front of your face. If you're a social service worker, you're looking at a guy, you know, he's got, you know, you saw him in the parking lot. He had, three young women with him, all doting on him, who were not his daughters. They were his wives, and all those little children running around them. Those are his children. And he's working the system. And you, as a social service worker, you're complicit in this. You're going along with it because what would it be, Paul, if you ask too many questions? You're a racist. Yes.
You're a racist.
You're a racist. And and you're a xenophobe. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Job, end of career.
Yeah, end of job, end of career. And, you know, thank God Donald Trump arrived as this all reached a nadir. I think actually that's a Middle Eastern name, nadir. But it reached a nadir. And we pulled out of the nosedive just in time. We'll be right back. Go ahead and call in.
Can't keep my eyes from the circling skies. Turn the tide and twist it just an earthbound distance.
Bridge number set. Mixtures bridge.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists...
There's a freedom movement.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Well, some might call me a good time fella. I ain't black and I ain't a yellow. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, I don't.
Hey, in our last segment, And I didn't cut off any callers, so we're okay there. And thank you, folks.
When I got cut off, did you continue that topic of trying to help the NRA?
Oh, yeah, Paul. I filled in what I read to be your thought. And I want to conclude with this, a nice encouraging thing for folks, a little bit depressing, some of this news. And, of course, the great man on the white horse, Donald Trump, which was the subject of this weekend at CPAC. Let me give you an example of how this great man operates. On Saturday, Donald Trump called in to the Jeanine Pirro radio and television show. She's got the top cable TV show on Saturdays. And Donald Trump called into her show and talked with her for 18 minutes.
Wow.
18 minutes. And he's, it's just wonderful. And this is his way of getting around the controlled news. We've never had a president who would do this. Can you recall any president calling in to a weekend cable show and listen to this? And he took the time to thank and to compliment one of the heroes we've been saluting on this show, which is Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who has broken this corruption in our government, the people that lie, the people that hide these facts, that hide the truth from us, and that's how they rule over us. That's a key factor in their rule. Listen to what Donald Trump said about one of the men breaking this corrupt mafia.
Two sides fighting all the time, fighting. We should all come as a nation. With that being said, I have to just add one thing. Congressman Nunes, if this continues to go forward, I really think someday he's going to be greatly honored for his service and for what he's done. He's been very, very brave in the face of a lot of obstacles. What he's found out has been incredible. I give him tremendous credit. But I have to say this.
So, folks, showing several things right there. Donald Trump is on top of it. He's watching the same news you are and studying the same facts you are. And he knows his stuff. He's up on Devin Nunes.
And he really deserves the title that was given to Ronald Reagan, the great communicator. I know it's a different era, the social media, but he is a first-rate communicator. And that's basically, I think, what made the difference in the last election.
Yes, and notice, folks, as we say goodbye, your president sounded just like you or me or Paul calling into a radio or talk show. He sounded like one of us. Folks, he is that first real American. He really is one of us in the White House. We'll pick up on this again tomorrow night. See you then.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to
to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.